Next is yet to come.
WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We all know about President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, a watershed moment in American history that led to the end of slavery. But what you may not know is what happened some 22 years earlier, before Lincoln was president, and his role in a legal case that freed the first American slave. Tonight, you'll hear the story from the author who discovered this story. My guests are Carl Adams, author of Nance, Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln, and Dr. Greg Carr, chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Carl Adams, thank you so much for joining me. And Dr. Greg Carr, always good to see you here.
Yeah,
always,
thanks, man. Thank you, Dr. Fisher. I appreciate it.
Dr. Fisher, thank you. Thank you for that promotion. I am not worthy.
You've got a great show here. Thank you so much for being on. Now, of course, you said the first slave freed. It was Lincoln's first slavery case, not the first slave freed. There had been others freed before then, but this was Lincoln's first slave.
Well, thank you so much for that, which goes back to the heart of why we're here, trying to educate people about Black history and the things that happen that we often are not familiar with. But let me get to this first issue. Who was Nance Leggins Cosley?
That was actually my thesis statement, because I didn't know. I only had her first name. That I came across a history synopsis of the county that I'd moved into after I graduated college. And it said, a slave girl named Nance became first slave freed by Abraham Lincoln through the Supreme Court case of Bailey versus Cromwell in 1841. One sentence, four facts, that's all I had. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a book. I was actually at that time an unemployed freelance reporter, and I was trying to find a story to write about. And mm-hmm. so I thought, no, wait a minute. If she lived in this community for 40 years, there has got to be more about this. I mean, Lincoln was credited with freeing 4 million slaves, and this was his first case? There has got to be more on this. I went to every library within driving distance, and I found nothing. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was flabbergasted. How was it a giant like Lincoln, known for Civil War and slavery, and no one had written any more about Nance? Mm-hmm. And it just threw me.
How did you discover this story?
Basically, it was in a synopsis story. It was in a Free Shopper that was delivered by mail.
A Free Shopper?
A Free Shopper.
You mean the little flyer-like papers that you get in the paper
that
you throw away? Yeah.
But there was a little synopsis about county history. And it said, a slave girl named Nance lived in this county for 40 years. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Is this real? I'm having a hard time grasping this. First slave freed by Abraham, and nobody knows her name. Nobody. And so I went looking. And nobody did. In over 100 years, nobody had written anything about it. And so I started asking around, so why? And they said, well, at one time, this town was controlled by the Ku Klux.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, that explains it. Now what am I going to do about it? Because I have no sympathies with those people whatsoever. Well, if they deliberately buried her story, then I'm going to bring it up again. And that's what I did.
So what is the story, and how did Abraham Lincoln get involved?
Basically through the personal relationship with a man who had temporarily rented her for 1 year. Now, the case was called Bailey versus Cromwell. Well, that was a man named David Bailey, who was from New England, but he was already in debt to the richest man in three counties, Nathaniel Cromwell Jr. Well, Nathaniel Cromwell wanted to go on to Texas on business, but Nance was expecting her first child, And that was very, very difficult to go on a trip from Illinois to Texas when you got morning sickness. And he was 65 years old and did not necessarily want to be seen traveling with a woman in her mid-20s who was also pregnant. Mm-hmm. That would catch a lot of attention. Well, it just so happens David Bailey was married to a daughter of a conductor of the Underground Railroad from Chicago. And so they agreed, I think through humanitarian reasons, because Nance was pregnant, to take her into their household and put her to work in their store for an agreed price of $400 for 1 year until Cromwell would come back. Mm-hmm. And that was the plan. Cromwell was 65 and sickly. He never got past St. Louis. He died within a month.
Wow.
So now here we go. He's got this slave living in his household. She's pregnant. He's already got a wife with two kids. And now we do. Well, his estate lawyers come calling 2 years later and said, we want the money. David Bailey said, I'm now broke. I'm bankrupt. In fact, he was declared bankrupt in federal court the spring after Nance was emancipated. But he did have a friend that he fought in the Black Hawk War with and he served with, and he was an anti-slavery lawyer named Lincoln. How about I talk to Lincoln about taking this case? Since he was broke, Nance didn't have any money, Lincoln probably took the case pro bono, didn't mm-hmm. charge him a thing. And it was pretty clear that Lincoln was very much anti-slavery because Nathaniel Cromwell Jr. was John Todd Stewart's richest client.
And John Todd Stewart
was his senior partner.
Okay.
But yet they argued over slavery.
I see.
To the point that that may have been what broke up their partnership.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're having a Black History moment tonight. We're talking about the book, Nance, The Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln. Of course, my guests are Carl Adams, who is the author of the book, and Dr. Greg Carr, chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University. Lines are open if you have a question or comment at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before we go on with the details of this story, Carl, I wanted to ask Dr. Carr, first and foremost, you know, Dr. Carr, you're a walking encyclopedia, and anybody who knows you or knows of your reputation here, but he got you on this one. You didn't know about this story. How does it make you feel to really learn about such an important story? I'm sure that your students are going to have a quiz on this one.
You know, it's important, Harold. And in fact, yeah, I mean, Mr. Adams, this research is very important because it reveals the complicated nature of enslavement. You know, as the political stakes swelled, Lincoln's opposition to slavery grew a lot more complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, you know, certainly when he's president, he says, look, if I could free some and keep some slave, the Union preservation was the most important thing to him.
Sure.
But what the story of Nance does is show how enslavement begins to develop as an enterprise. This isn't something somebody just made up in a room and it stayed the same over centuries. You know, as Carl explains, you know, when you're talking about enslavement in Illinois legally to have the status of indentured servant, you know, you could say on the books perhaps it wasn't slavery, but of course it was. These Africans were brought there. And what you have is the backdrop is a man who is practicing law before he reenters politics. And you look at the Lincoln Douglas debates, he gets a lot more ambivalent in terms of slavery. He talks a little bit pro-slaveryish in the south of Illinois. But in this case, a contract case, a case of, you know, where a person is trying to assert their humanity. This is, what, 16 years before Roger Taney in Dred Scott says that the black people don't have any rights anywhere. And that really nullifies the Missouri Compromise, which is an attempt to either curtail the spread of slavery or make it subject to federal law. And by that time, Abe Lincoln is a member of the new Republican Party, and he assails this question of slavery and Roger Taney at the Supreme Court level by saying basically they're working for the Buchanan administration. In other words, it becomes political. But what this case does, finally, I think, which is why I think it's very important, one of the reasons, is, you know, what Mr. Adams has done in uncovering this is show that slavery is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just look for the word slave. You might have to look for the word indentured servitude in Illinois. You might have. And then when this young girl, as he writes, asserts her humanity by saying, I will refuse to sign this contract. I will refuse to put my mark there. she's setting in motion legal forces that will ultimately reveal the unsustainability, ultimately, of the slave compromise. And I think that's important as a contribution to our understanding of enslavement.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the book Nance, Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln. If you have a question, if you have a comment about this issue, please don't hesitate to give us a call. We certainly do want to.
Let me say this very quickly. You know, she may have been the first person that received their freedom as a result of some of his legal work, but she might have also been the last, because during the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln didn't free the Africans he could have been held in Maryland and other places. So when he did have the opportunity to do something, he didn't do it. His hand was quaking. So this might actually be the brave point of Abe Lincoln's life in terms of slavery. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, and that's another reason this book is important.
Interesting point. I need to go to a break, and I want to let Joe know, calling from D.C., that we will be taking your phone call. Also, if you have questions or comments, you can give us a call now. We promise we will be taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This is our Black History Moment, something we think you should know. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.